Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the Light the Fight podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today, I went deep in the bag and I pulled out the OG himself, K. Scott. Kenneth, good to see you, man.
Man, likewise. Good to see you as well, man. I'm hoping that it's a lot cooler out there in Utah than it is out here in Houston, because it's blazing, 100-degree type weather with humidity. So hopefully it's a little better for y'all.
Well, really, is it that bad? Because I'll be in Dallas real soon.
Oh, it's bad. Well, Dallas isn't as humid as Houston is, but it's hot.
It's hot, yeah. It's got that southern humidity, right?
Yeah,
well, it's hot. And with Kenneth I today, and thanks, Kenneth, for, you know, I had a couple listeners hit me up like, hey, whatever happened to K. Scott and Rojo? I'm like, I don't pay him enough money, man. I don't pay him enough money. I'm just kidding. I just asked. Well, we're just both really busy, but I said during the summertime, you'll see them back on more often. But today we got a very special guest, and I had him come on the podcast today because if I didn't have him come on today, I probably wouldn't be able to get him on the podcast because he's going to be leaving for 2 years to make millions of dollars work. I'm just kidding. imagine if you got millions of dollars going on a mission. I tell you what, fools would be baptizing people left and right.
Right?
They'd be like a line. They'd be like a draft to get into the missionary department. They'd be like, come on, get me, coach. Yeah, exactly. So with us today, we got a very special guest, Sepha Brown. Sepha, thank you for joining us on the OG Therapy podcast.
I appreciate it. Very nice to be here.
Yeah. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Sepha in case you don't know who he is. So Sepha is a local, just recently graduated high school senior who is committed. Now, for all of our listeners, Utah fans, you're not going to like this, but for all of our listeners are BYU fans, you're welcome. Okay. he's committed to a full ride scholarship to Brigham Young University, and we're just so happy to have him on the podcast today because I've met him a couple times. We've had a couple conversations in the past, Sepha, through my nephew, Brody, who he's very close with. And every time I talk to Brody, even if we're not talking about Sepha, we'll be talking about other friends of his that are going on to play sports in college. His name always came up. And then a couple of times he told me a little bit more detailed information about Sepha, and I had a thought at that moment. I was like, man, I got to get this kid on my podcast. There's just something, you know how you meet someone, Kenneth, there's just something about them that like, they're not flexing. They're not like, hey, my name's Sepha and here's all the really cool people I know and here's how much money I got. You know, right. He wasn't walking around like, hey, I can't find my $500 pair of sunglasses. Did anyone see them? You know, he's not one of those cats who's always flexing and trying to show off, you know, take off a shirt every chance he gets. You know, he's a humble cat, you know, he's a humble dude. Right. So, but when I heard a little bit more about his story from Brody, I'm like, I really got to get him on the podcast because the thing in our podcast, we talk a lot about Sepha is relationship, mostly family relationships. And in your situation, I think it's safe to say that your relationship with your family is your backbone. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
So it's your foundation, your backbone. Like you're definitely a family man. Right, like I've been around you and your family, and you know Polynesians are known for being pretty tight knit, anyways. But just because they're close doesn't mean they get along. Sepha and his family, you could tell, got very good relationships because I can name a couple Polynesian families off the top of my head, my own included. They're really close, but they're close in not always the healthiest ways, right?
Right.
But I didn't get that vibe from him and his family. But when I heard what him and his family gone through, I'm like, I really wanted to talk to you, Sepha. You have a very interesting situation where you've gone through so much at such an early stage of your life. You've made decisions that I would say are high moral decisions. Like you come across as a young man with a very high moral fiber. Like there's a lot of things about you, even in the first impressions from my nephew told me about you, that made me so interested in talking to you. I'm just excited to have you on the podcast today. And I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you better because the parents that listen to this, they're going to share this with their kids that have gone through something similar or looking for some sort of inspiration or just a nugget. You know, if you ever listen to a podcast or a reel, sometimes you'll just hear one nugget and that thing could take you from having a bad day to like, maybe I could do it. Like, maybe I'm not a failure. Maybe I'm not like, you know, what my ex-coach said or what my ex-girlfriend says about me. I'm speaking personally now. You know, maybe I'm better than that. This is former me when I was younger. So let's get it kicked off and get started for just getting to know you a little bit better. So why don't you tell everybody what city you hail from and your family, like how they made it to Utah in the first place. Talk about siblings. We'll take it from there.
All right. So I'm born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. Started with my mom and her parents. She was born in Tonga. And so my grandparents, they just wanted a better life for their kids. They weren't they didn't have much money. And so especially in Tonga, it's not everyone's driving around in freaking sports cars and things. So they just thought that coming to the US was like the best option they could take, I guess. And so when my mom was like around seven, they moved everyone here. My grandpa got here first, and he worked and stuff for I think for like 3 years, and then he raised enough money to bring the rest of his family over. And my dad's mom, same situation. They just wanted a better life for their kids, and like I think they moved here right before he was born, but he has I think like eight siblings that are older than him, and about like three that are younger. And so like I think the eight were born in Tonga, and then it was him, and then the rest were born here. And so they all just wanted a better life, and they all found their way to Utah, settled here, and yeah, got what they wanted. Yeah, I guess.
Isn't crazy to think how if your ancestors, specifically your grandfather, if he didn't make the choice to do what he did, your mom and dad would have never met. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have a family. You wouldn't even be born. I love looking at like family history and stuff like that, just to think every one of us is like a result of random people's, like not random, but people's choices to be with someone mm-hmm. else, to make a move. I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but if you're raised your whole entire life in Tonga, yeah, you might be going to BYU, but like for rugby, you probably wouldn't be playing football right now at BYU, right? So thanks for giving us that little bit of breakdown, and tell everybody what city, like what high school did you just graduate from?
Highland High School. It's in Salt Lake, up in Sugar House. Went there all 4 years, and that was my plan to go there all my life. And
played football and basketball, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you play any other sports?
Basketball 4 years. Was gonna try volleyball, but nah. yeah.
Hey, Polynesians and volleyball, man. My freshman and sophomore year, I played volleyball. All my siblings, everybody played volleyball. I wanted to do it like just as hard, but I loved it. But this is not like football is more aggressive, you know. you get the six pack people in volleyball, but you don't get to hit them, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta stay between them.
You gotta stay with you. Yeah, can't touch the net. Yeah. Little things like that. So
tell us, I'm intrigued a little bit more. But tell us a little bit about more like your family dynamic growing. So obviously it wasn't just you in the household, obviously. Tell us a little bit more about that and what groomed you into becoming who you became at Highland High School and moving forward.
All right. So I got an oldest brother. He has cerebral palsy, and he was born that way. So he can't really like help himself, and like basically all our lives. So I have a brother that's right under him, and basically most of his like high school and like all of growing up, he used to take care of him and like all that stuff. And there's only two other boys that were like, so there's my older brother, the oldest is in a wheelchair, then there's my older brother, and then there's me. So like there was only like the other two boys that could like, take care of him. And so like all of growing up, my older brother took care of like our oldest brother. And then once he graduated high school, and I was like probably like 10 or 11 or 12, but like all of that I guess responsibility, it all came down to me. I was the only other boy, and like my parents didn't want like the girls helping my oldest brother. And so I guess I think it's like really, it was really humbling just like to have to take care of like another full grown man, I guess, and more than yourself, I guess. And just every single day, just waking up and getting him out of bed and helping him in the bathroom, stuff like that, and getting him meals and just I think just doing that every single day and just like all of growing up, it just helped me to like realize that like I don't like I haven't been living just for myself, and I feel like that's really humbled me and like kept me humble like throughout this whole like recruiting journey or like whatever, and just like kept my head on right, because I can't really ever get like a big head just because I know what it's like to like I guess have to care more than just yourself and
How
like
did you, and I appreciate you for sharing that too. For kids that have experienced like carrying all that weight, all that pressure, all that stuff riding on them, like how did you maintain like your sanity, your mental health to like you have this goal of getting to college football, which you was able to, or getting there to able to get attained. Like, how did you keep your focus? How did you keep your mental health? How did you keep the sanity to keep going through what you saw? And like having all that responsibility, like you said, how did you keep going, really though?
I think a big part of it was just that like my parents didn't make it seem like it was like a job. Like it was just like a regular thing, I guess. They just made it seem like it wasn't like a burden. Like my brother isn't a burden, it was just part of life. And I guess that was like my way of seeing it every day. Like there were definitely like I guess days or like weeks where I was just like, dang, this is actually really hard, you know what I'm saying? And
And probably times where you couldn't do things like other kids because
lots
of
of that.
that.
Like, oh, I gotta run home real quick, and then I'm not sure if I'll be back, but like just gotta help my brother out real quick, and just like putting someone else's needs above your own is just like, I feel like that in and of itself, it like kind of motivates me. Just because it keeps me like level, and it just and also just I guess having an older brother that did it before me, and just realizing that like he was able to do it, and like why can't I, you know what I'm saying? And like that was just like a big impact on how I like saw the situation growing up, and just helped me to not
That's
look
good.
in it
Be
as
honest
bad.
with Asefa. Did you ever get frustrated with kids your own age that were just acting like stupid, like just because, I got some friends that are immature, that I don't really have any responsibilities. You have the responsibility of a sibling. Did you ever just get frustrated with some of the kids your own age? Like, dude, you guys are such idiots. Like, they act like just such immature kids that have a problem. Huh?
It's I don't know. I try not to like compare myself to like their situations, because like I feel like everyone's different, and not everyone has, and it's I don't think it's a negative thing, but it's just like sometimes I'm just like, dang, you really don't know like what it is, and like what's like how much responsibility like I gotta carry, and just like it's sometimes rough, but I think I try not to think about that too much.
I just asked that because I could totally see like one of your friends having to break down because like they didn't get the pair of Jordans they wanted or something. You're like looking at them going, you're just like shaking your head like, dude.
No, you're right. Yeah, I feel you.
You're, oh yeah, that does suck, man. Because like you watch people that go through little minor things and you don't want to be rude and disrespectful, but it's like, man, you have no. So that's probably where your gratitude came from, that by you going through the life that you had, that's all you knew. Because some of these kids, it may take them a lifetime to figure out what responsibility is. It may take them, maybe they don't even figure it out. They don't ever really take things serious enough that they should be taking serious, their health, their academics, their sports, whatever it is. So I'm glad you see that as a blessing, because obviously it's turned out to be a blessing.
It really asked. Talk to us a little bit more about your sister's side. Obviously, you mentioned your brothers. Talk to us about your sisters.
All right, so I have a younger sister that's gonna be a senior next year, and then my older sister, I think she played like a really big part, or like she was like the main reason why I chose to go to BYU, because she was attending BYU the last 4 years, I guess, since 20 or in 2022. And then I guess like one day I already had like I think a few offers, and there was like Utah and BYU, and so like I basically those were like the main two schools anyway that I really wanted to go to. And then I was just going to basketball practice one day, and I'm like getting in the car, about to drive, and then my mom calls me, and then she's like Sefa, like are you on your way to practice? And I was like, yeah. And she's like don't freak out, but like your sister just had a stroke. And I was like, okay, well, is she okay? And then my mom's just like, well, yeah, she's gonna be okay. Just go to practice, and like we'll feel things out. I'll let you know what happens after that. And so I'm going through practice. I really just don't know what to think, and I feel like my mind is just like I'm in like a basketball like court on a basketball court, but like my mind is like wherever my family is, and just like wondering what's going on outside. And then get out of practice, and my mom tells me to go pick up my siblings and go straight to the hospital. And then we get to the hospital, and they just tell me that like the situation it's not good. And so we go in and check on her, and she's in a coma. And basically the next few days is just she stops breathing, and then they have her on life support. And we just I just lose her the next couple of days. And it was a really big really really rough time, but like I feel like just because she loved BYU, and she was going to graduate that next spring. And I feel like just wanting to do that and finish what she started, I guess, was like the biggest like motivating factor in like what my decision to go to BYU. And just like because she was about to be the first graduate,
To
college
graduate.
graduate family. Yeah. And she couldn't do that, but now I feel like I can do it for her. And that was just the biggest motivator, I guess. But yeah.
Now, I know Kenneth, I know you got him all in your feelings, so why don't you tell him what you're thinking about what he said, Kenneth?
Yeah, because obviously my mom, she was very sick, very ill growing up. I had the responsibility of having to take care of my mother growing up. She had lupus. And so during the latter part of my football career, my mother. So I always look at it because I went to Utah. I'm from California. And so at towards the back end of my career, I always, well, once since my mom passed, I always felt like I blamed football for me not being able to be there for in times of need. And that's kind of like a little internal thing that I battle with sometimes whenever I think about stuff. But when hearing your story, you know, my mom had a stroke that led into a coma, and then miraculously, when I was born, this is when I was born, she had a stroke that led to a coma, and miraculously, 3 days later, she wound up living through the coma. But then she had 24, then she lived 24 years, and then eventually passed away in 2016. But just hearing your story and those emotions that you're feeling, I was like, or felt, or still probably feeling, I'm like, dang, they started muster up with me. And I love what you said, because I was gonna say a joke. I was gonna be like, yeah, a lot of guys commit to BYU pre-mission, but they always come to Utah after. But this in this case, your butt gotta stay at BYU, right? You gotta accomplish the
Exactly.
mission. You know, I was gonna do some tapering or tampering, but at this point, I'm not. This is a mission-driven, critical thing that you guys got going in. So like it made me proud, and I was smiling, like hearing it, because I'm like, man, this is bigger than just football. This is like, hey, I'm doing this because I have to do this for my sister. And so like you playing with that cause, and you playing with that servant feeling, it gave me the chills, because that's what I was playing for. You know, to be able to accomplish things that my mom wanted to accomplish, or think about me accomplishing before she passed away. So huge kudos to you, man. Huge kudos. That was heartfelt. I appreciate you sharing that and being vulnerable and open to do that too.
Thanks, for sure.
Yes, Steph, I was thinking too that because when I talked to you over at that barbecue not too long ago, I was saying like, yeah, what's your recruiting experience been like? NIL, because obviously, as you know, Brody's has been wild. Like he's had the wildest one in the state of Utah, like all over the place. And he's the most mellowest kid, so he's not in drama and it's been wild. But when you were saying it about your situation, you said, yeah, mine was pretty easy. It was pretty easy. Like it wasn't a hard decision. I was like, oh, okay. And then now when you shared why, because I didn't know that when we talked at the barbecue, I was like, oh, I agree 100, 1000% with Kenneth. This is bigger than football. And what you were saying before, when you learn when you're younger, it's not all about you. That's a lesson that takes a lot of people a lifetime if they ever realize that. But football, and when you're an athlete, it's such a selfish pursuit and endeavor. Like it's like about your eating, your nutrition, your weightlifting. It's like it's hard for people to date an athlete that's a full-time athlete. Like it's all about you. And so in a sport, now granted it's a team sport, but when you're training, preparing, it's all about you. But in a sport like this, when you're doing it for something else besides the clout, the money, when it's a personal thing, and it's the personal thing is actually not even personal towards you, it's personal towards your sister. I'd imagine in a weird way that can like take off a lot of the stress and worry of like making decisions. But then again, to flip it, to play devil's advocate a little bit, do you feel, and if not, that's fine, do you feel any added pressure to bring honor to your family's name and to bring honor to your sister? Because you're really the first one. Like your older brother, by the way, when you get a chance to meet his older brother, Kenneth, the happiest dude you've ever met.
Really?
Like, dude, his older brother's like, what's up? I was like, he came over, like, oh, what's up, bro? Like, gave him a hug, like, hey, what's up? Like, I'm like, have we met before? Like, he's one of those cats, like, you met him before. Hilarious, funny, hella cool, right? And so then his other brother, he graduates, go from him, it's like, Seth, in a weird thing. Now I know all the Mormon LDS. Nah, I shouldn't use this analogy because it'd be a bad analogy to your two brothers. I was gonna say you're kind of like that third brother. You're kind of like the Nephi of the family, but that would mean your older brothers are bad. So I don't mean it that way. But like you're the leader of the family, but you're the third born male. Usually in Polynesian culture and in most cultures, the firstborn son and the firstborn daughter. Those are the ones who are like mini coaches, like they're half mom, half dad. Is it, am I accurate to see like a lot of that responsibility has trickled down to you? Like you're kind of like a father figure and like a kid at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I felt all growing up, kind of just having to take care of my oldest brother. It's kind of a weird feeling just because like he's my oldest brother and I'm like the youngest son, and just yeah, it's just a lot of it does kind of feel just a little weird, but it's I feel like I've gotten used to it by now, and just that feeling of like, yeah, I guess being like a leader or whatever in the family, and just yeah.
So does that ever, I mean, I assume it does just because you're an athlete and stuff. You got your family's name on the back of the jersey, right? Like every time someone sees that name on the back of a jersey, you're representing not just you, right? Your family, your ancestors. Do you ever feel that that adds, like a little bit more pressure onto you for that?
Yeah, I think it is it, like there is a lot of pressure that comes with, especially because I'm like the only like athlete in the family, like the like even my cousins and like aunts and uncles, like I'm the only one that's gone D1 or like that's like pursuing like I guess college or whatever. It's like all the other ones, like I think I've had a couple cousins that have are like in school right now, but like not for sports. So I feel like me being the only, I guess, D1 athlete and just like carrying like my family's name and like doing it for my sister is a lot of pressure and a lot of high expectations for my family and those who know my story, I guess. And but I guess I'm prepared. I don't really. I'm excited for it and I take it as it comes. So. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Kenneth, I don't know if you were thinking about this, Kenneth, but because I know you went through something similar, when you lost your mom. I'm just wondering, like, when your sister passed, Sepha, could you? I know it's hard to do this, but could you give us kind of like a little bit of a like a example or screenshot, like what the support was like that your family received? Like, did you have family, friends, neighbors? Like, did you feel like what you guys went through, that there's people that helped you in a way that like you might not have been able to get through that without people?
Yeah, I feel like it brought up like so many people, like especially because my sister, she was just like the happiest person like anyone could ever know.
So she
She
was
was
very social, everybody liked her.
And so like all of the people that she knew like came and like supported our family, and she was just like a big impact on everyone else. And so like I guess everyone that she met, their way of like showing their love to her was like showing their love through us or to us. And so like all of that support that was coming from like everyone that she met, it just like it was just, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just unreal, and it just kind of just added like a level of comfort that like I really couldn't explain. And that just I feel like that support is still like driving me and my family like to this day, and just thinking about how like through those like that very very like that low of our lives, it just like brought us back up and like helped us to remember that like she did live a life, and it wasn't just like we didn't have to focus on her passing, but just like she did live a life, and she met all these people, and like her impact is still around today. And I just, I really can't explain the support that we still feel today.
I think he did a great job, but what do you think, Kenny?
Yeah, phenomenal. Because that support is much needed. I totally agree with you in that piece. Like without that support, I don't know what I would have done, you know. So I agree. That support is everything.
Yeah, because some people just don't get it. Some people don't have the family and friends, and that's why Kenneth knows, because I always talk about these statistics, Sefa, but like there's been a lot of research done in recent years that says like if you have better relationships, you're likely to live 8 to 15 years longer. And what they found out is that if you go through a death of a loved one and you have support, you're less likely to come unraveled, get caught up in addiction, have all these other issues, you know what I mean? So you're more likely to continue having a pursuit. Like if someone gets cancer and they want to give up, but their friend's like, wait, you're not giving up. Then like, I'm not. All right, okay, I guess I'll keep trying. And so that support of people after a death, after a hardship, it really is the make or break moment. Because if you don't get, I mean, I bet both of you can't even imagine, Kenneth and Sefa, could you imagine if after your mom died, after your sister died, if everybody just kind of was like, oh, that sucks to be you. And no one really came and helped you guys out in your family?
Man, yeah, that
Yeah, but
would be crazy.
when you feel that people have a hole in their heart and they're hurting because your loved one passed away, now you have something in common with that person that's deeper than just friendship. Now it's like there's a bond there that is going to last for the rest of your life.
That's real.
Sefa, I was curious, kind of turning a corner a little bit and talking about a little bit something different. And thank you so much for sharing all that personal information about your family and about your sister, because we realize it's only been a couple years out and you're a young man. But Kenneth, I think it's pretty safe that we're confident that he can take it though. Like he's a young man. Like we don't feel like we're going to break you by answering some of these questions, because I'm a therapist, do counseling and stuff, and sometimes I gotta be careful with asking certain people certain questions because it opens up Pandora's box. And then for 2 weeks later, like, hey man, yeah, I'm still messed up from our last conversation. And so I trust, and I know Canada trusts that you've gone through so much, but at the same time, you're building upon it. Every single year, you're trying to just become a better version of yourself. I'm curious to know about going out on a mission. Being so close to family, having your family's gone through something, like you said, it just galvanized, put everybody together. Your family's tighter than it ever was before. But now you're leaving across the country to New York for 2 years away from your family. What are some of your thoughts and feelings about that? Because I imagine there's good thoughts and excitement, but I also imagine there's some nervousness, some apprehension. Like, so please tell us, what are some of your thoughts and feelings going into this?
I think the biggest thing is excitement, but there was also this stress that I am the main like caretaker of my brother, and me leaving would mean that my dad would have to take over that responsibility, and I feel like it probably would have, like I wouldn't have really cared. I mean, I would care, but like it just, I don't know, it kind of hit me that like my dad is, he's getting old,
Yeah.
like sometimes it's kind of difficult for him, like working all day and like having to leave work and come help my brother when I'm at like practices or school. And I just sometimes I get kind of just like I feel, I guess, bad or like that my dad has to just add like all of the extra responsibility that I felt, and it just goes right back to him. And like he's already like he's a stake president in a YSC stake, and he works every single day, and I really don't know what to expect for him. And sometimes I don't know, it hurts me to think that he'll have to go through all of that while I'm away. And but I know that me leaving on a mission will just bring more blessings, and so I'm just hoping that God will take care of him and my family. But
I appreciate you getting personal with that because what you said, it's a very real thing. When you have a lot of responsibility, when you're working really hard, and Kenneth knows this, so much is dependent upon you. When you want to go chase your dreams, when you want to go do your own thing, you realize that that now puts more responsibility on other people who you've been trying to take the responsibility from. Now you got to give it back to them. And so it's almost kind of like, have you ever heard like that survivor's guilt? Like if like two people in a car accident, one dies and one lives, it's like the one who lives has a survivor's guilt. Like they feel guilty that they survived and that they get to live their life and the other person doesn't. In a similar fashion, that's how it is when someone like you goes on to, whether it's a football scholarship or a mission, to live your life, because you're young, you got to send it. You got to put it out there. You got to explore. But then knowing the burden that's going to put on your family, the fact that you even consider that and you think about that and that's hard on you, just kind of proves, what do you think, Ken? It kind of proves everything else we've been learning about him today already. Like, he takes his stuff serious. Like, he ain't playing around.
Very mature minded. He knows the depth of the mission and what he has to do in order to accomplish it. And so that's what I love the most about him. Like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, man, BYU is getting
A
not only
real
a
one.
great player, but a good person. Like, obviously Sataki, obviously Coach Rye was my coach back at Utah, so
He
obviously
loves
I
all
have
those
love.
coaches. He loves all
Yeah,
those
I know
guys.
all the coaches. Coach Jay Hill, even Raylan Singleton. He was a receiver with me at Utah. So it's like, they're getting a good dude, and that's what I've come to learn from, just this conversation. It's like, man, you're a great dude, and I'm excited to, continue on and see you even, after when you get back from your mission to come back and do your thing, man. But that's when I've talked with people like Britton Covey. I remember when he went to Chile and came back from his mission. I always like I think that's the hardest thing to do. Like, because I asked him, I was like, man, how does it feel to like be out there every single day? You facing you're coming across people that don't want to hear anything you got to say. Like, it's like a bad salesman. They just don't want to hear anything you say. But like, you come at it with like such smile and zest, and knowing that it doesn't matter what they say to me, I know my mission is to impact people. And so, like, I want to ask you a question, because I think that going on the mission helps you kind of think about after football. When it comes to after football, like after you come on your mission, after you do what you do at BYU, and I pray you go and do what you got to do, and get an opportunity in the NFL, be able to support your family. When all that is said and done, right? Being that you have such a servant heart, a mature minded person, have you thought that far into what I want to do after I'm done with football? Like, have you thought that far yet?
If I'm being honest, no, not really. Not really at all.
Got you.
Like, I try to, I guess, like, focus on the present, I guess, especially because, after like graduation, things went like so quick, and now I'm about to leave in the next few weeks, and so I just try to like, I guess, like, live in the moment, but also just like keep my like plans like to where I feel like I can control them, I guess. So like, I
Makes
feel like
sense.
from here to like me coming back and playing football, that's really all I know right now.
Gotcha.
Well, I think that's a sign of another sign of maturity as well too, because what do you think would happen, Sepha, if you, because I know a lot of kids, that their head's so far into the future, it's hard for them to do something today. Like they get a little lost in the sauce, right? What do you think, knowing yourself, Stefan, what do you think would happen if you were overtly always thinking about the future? Do you think that'd be a good thing or a bad thing for you?
I don't know. I feel like it could go both ways, but for me personally, I don't think it'd be a good thing. I definitely wouldn't be able to like enjoy, I guess, like what happens in my daily life, or like have the motivation to do like what I'm doing every single day. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, and when you got a lot of responsibilities, like you can only fit so many things in your dome at one time, you know? Like you, and that's why I said when Kenneth asked you that question, I was kind of low key hoping that you would say not really, because that you're gonna have anxiety anyways. Everyone's gonna have performance anxiety in sports, taking tests, whatever it may be. But when you start thinking like, oh, now I got to make my family proud today and be this amazing person in the future, that could just add a little extra anxiety to the whole situation. You're like, let me
That
just
is
pump the
true.
brakes. Let me just put that name badge on my, let me just go Elder Brown for a little while and try to do some push-ups every day, some sit-ups, you know, early in the morning, you know? Well, Sefa, I got one last question for you, and if K-Scott has one last question for you too, please, K. Last question I had for you is that everything you've been through, everything we've talked about, I don't want to put it like too much stress on you, like you have to give like this huge like quote that's perfect for a reel or something like that. So no pressure on how you answer this. But what do you think if there's someone going to their senior year of high school and they're wanting to be an athlete in college, and let's say this person is someone that just you don't know, they just came up to you. Let's say they heard this podcast, like, man, like I heard you on that podcast, like, wow, like I was a fan of you as a football player, but I didn't know you went through all this other stuff. I knew your sister died, but because what you just shared in this little episode was really detailed things that nobody could have known from a news article. If you did a KSL or radio interview for 5 minutes, they just don't go that deep. They just can't, right? So if someone asked you, if they said, hey, like, what's any advice you could give to me, or what's something that you think would be helpful for me to not get too much anxiety, to not get overwhelmed with this opportunity, because I got some scholarship offers. Like, what type of advice do you think you could give to someone just to help them be in the right mindset of going into college and trying to become an athlete, knowing how competitive and how challenging it is?
I think that's a hard question to answer.
That's why I said, don't worry, you don't have to say it like in a very, I'm not looking for anything specific. Just curious.
I'd probably just say like, just like know, or like remember like what you're doing it for, or just like your why. I think that's just the main thing. It's just, and if you don't have one, I feel like finding one is a good way to start. And just 'cause I feel like that definitely can be like the biggest, I guess, driving factor in whatever you are trying to do, and through like expectations and stuff like that. And yeah, just finding your why and knowing why you do what you're doing. And yeah.
Well said, because I talked to a lot of young people, and it's not just with athletics, it goes big time with mission too. I'll ask them, well, why are you going on a mission? And they don't say this, but this is what I take from it, because people are asking them, what are you going to do after high school? And they didn't have anything to say to do. So they're like, I'm going to go on a mission. And then right for the mission, they're having those panic, paranoia, like, I literally don't know anything about the Book of Mormon. I haven't studied. I just didn't want to have nothing to say to do, right? And then you have other kids like myself, like, I got a football scholarship. It's like, oh, what do you want to do? And you go to, I'm like, oh, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, I don't even like football. Like, the only thing I knew I was good at. So I didn't have a why either. And my career just went in all different directions because I didn't have a why. The kids that I'm referring to that went on a mission and didn't have a why, not all of them really figure that out. Like, sometimes they do, but sometimes, of course, I work with a lot of kids who get sent home early, right? Or choose, some of them, they choose come home because they realize they didn't have a why. And they're like, this is way more difficult. Like, could you imagine showing up to the first day at 2 days in BYU and you not even really like want to play football? That'd be a rude awakening. Like, you better want to be there, otherwise it's gonna suck real bad, right? So I that really hit me, and I'm glad you said that with the why. What do you think about that, Kay?
No, I think that's extremely important as far as the why, because it's kind of like navigating you to where your ultimate goal, aspiration, dream, whatever it is supposed to be. And it also, when times of adversity, challenge, opposition, whatever is going to meet you where you're at in that journey, because it's going to happen, having that why is going to allow you to overcome it. So I totally agree with him, man. That's huge. It plays a big part.
That's what's up. Well, Sefa, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed talking about this. I hope when you go back and listen to this, this is a good reminder for you, because when you get back from your mission, we're going to run it back. Okay? When you got back from your mission, we're going to run it back. But by that time, we'll have Kenneth moved out here to Utah. He doesn't know it yet, but he's come back here to Utah. And when you get off your mission, we'll take you to sushi, get some poke or something like that. Then we'll do the podcast after that, just to celebrate.
Sure.
But seriously, Sefa, I just want to personally say thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast. You know, a lot of young people are going to get this through their parents, or, you know, we got a bunch of teenage young adults that listen to this as well. And even if they're not athletes, the stuff that you talked about it's important for, what you just talked about, it can be very helpful to anyone who's looking for help. Anyone's looking for guidance and try to get to a better place to level up, you know, they're definitely going to find it by listening to this. What are your final thoughts, Kay?
No, I think that's extremely true, especially coming from a young age like him, all the individuals that's in his demographic and just hearing his maturity. I think it's going to make them like check themselves, be like, you know what? Let me get serious about some things. So I appreciate him being who he is on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you guys, to all of our listeners out there, remember, you can follow us on OG Therapy on all podcast platforms. On TikTok, we're on OG Therapy Podcast. On Instagram, it's OG.therapy. And on Patreon, it's www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. Patreon's a $5 paywall. I get 2.5 years of video content and episodes that weren't on our platforms. And also, if you'd like to watch your video podcasts, like I do on YouTube sometimes, if you go to Patreon, you pay the $5, you get to see this episode and all the other episodes actually in video format. Also, to Seth, I know you're not going to be too active on social media for the next couple of years, but if someone likes this podcast, wants to follow you the rest of your journey, how can they follow you?
Seosefa Brown on Instagram. It's SIOSEFABROWN. That's just no spaces. And on Twitter or X, is it X now?
Yeah.
I think it's just Sefa Brown, SEFA Brown. Yeah.
All right. And Kenneth, how about you?
Yeah, they can find me at KScott_2 on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. And I'm only active on Instagram, David_KOZLOWSKI_. And you guys, I just want to thank both of you guys for doing the episode again. And every time we do the OG Therapy podcast, we always make some reels. We're going to make a couple different reels for you to share, Sefa, and also for you to share, Kenneth, because we're going to have some really good nuggets out of all this. So to all of our listeners, you guys know the routine. You guys, when stress, life, troubles, issues of all different sorts got you down on your knees saying, please, Lord, please, no need to trip or worry. Keep on praying, keep on doing your thing, but you can also press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day y es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.